Would you please welcome everybody watching us via live stream from around the world? Welcome to church, eChurch. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I have 20 minutes and I really have some of my heart I want to talk to you about. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For when, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. Not your boss make your way prosperous. Not your father make your way. You make your way prosperous. If there's any luck out there, whatever that thing is, when you come into Jesus, luck moves out of the way and favor moves in. And favor is a function of faithfulness, not of luck. If you're waiting for luck, she ain't coming. That was very American there for a few. There's no such thing. It's faithfulness produces favor. That's the equation of what God has in mind of your life. Prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This morning, I took the scripture and had a conversation around overcoming a fear of heights, not height like this, but height in taking your life higher. You should download the MP3 or listen to the YouTube video if you weren't here. But tonight, I want to title my message, Treasure Hunt. Treasure Hunt. I know what I'm about to say is going to age me, but every now and then for a laugh, I like to watch a particular thing on TV. Judge Judy. You see, we are the same. How many of you admit you like Judge Judy? How many of you admit it? Because you would like to say to people what she gets to say to people. Today, even, she was on while I'm changing, and she went for someone. She was crazy. You fool. There is something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You don't understand what I'm saying. Anyway, she had an interesting case a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I'd stay and watch the outcome, and I couldn't. I had to go on to an appointment, and I'm dying to find out. Well, not dying. I'm living to find out. Don't speak death of yourself. I'm living to find out what the outcome was. So this guy paid a contractor to paint his house while he was away. He went away and the guy came and painted the house. But he missed which house? And painted the adjacent neighbor's house. That guy didn't want to have his house painted and isn't prepared to pay for it. So the guy who paid for the painting of a house now doesn't have a painted house. The guy whose house was painted, fine. Then they sued him and he said, okay, fine, I will pay for the house to be painted, but not in that color. You might think, well, how does that segue into our conversation? I want to talk to you about Treasure Hunt from the biblical perspective of, I think a lot of people are digging holes to find treasures that merely become pitfalls for them to fall into later. And that sometimes I think that we can dig holes looking for something, not knowing that it's not placed there. And that sometimes I think that the treasure is in plain sight. But because we don't know how to identify it or look for it, we disregard its value and hunt for something that is valueless. Sometimes we're painting the wrong house. I've shared that with pastors a lot. Can I tell you like a pastor inside thing? When I do pastor seminar stuff, they always ask me the same stuff at the beginning. Their first question is always, what color is the black on your wall? And, you know, what kind of green did you use? And is, you know, orange and teal in this year and whatever. First of all, I'm not a qualified interior designer. You must Google Pantone color of the year and you must just do that. It's purple. But it actually is for this year, which disturbs me. But they always ask me that, and here's the thing. I keep telling pastors, and I'm going to say this, young pastors too, don't buy the suit and set up the stage until you've got something to say. Because you'll set up an environment greater than your ability. Because I think sometimes people's ego is bigger. Okay. Let's go back to, I was going to say, then they argue, but that's not true. It's sometimes one's ego is bigger than one's preparation. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're digging for treasure in the right places. You guys are young. I mean, everyone in this room is half my age. What are you, 12, 13? You've got life ahead. Don't waste it digging out stuff you don't need. Earlier today, I have like 2 hours or 3 hours between services, and I go for a run, and then I'm changing and calming down and getting ready for you. I'm so eager that I get here earlier and earlier, and I was here at 3 today. I'm like, where are you people? And I watched Naked and Afraid. Yeah, it's gory. You know, this crazy guy wanted to eat something in a palm tree, in a... some kind of a coconut tree. I know what he wanted. Right in the middle of the coconut tree, right at where the leaves are, there's a sweet nectar, honey thing. But he started chopping it down at the root. He spent 6 hours chopping with a knife. Chopping, chopping, chopping. He still says, if this takes hours, days, I'm going to eat. After 6 hours, the tree fell. Okay, now you've ruined the tree. And then he realizes, but the nectar isn't there. It's at the crown. So he starts again. I have to wonder how many people are looking for the nectar of life in the wrong place. And you're chopping away hours upon hours upon hours, ruining the very tree that'll give you life, not recognizing that it's found at the crown. And that if you considered the crown, you would find the treasure. 2 Kings 3, favorite scripture of mine. Okay, they're all favorite, but this is like the favoritist. I apologize for the grammar. 2 Kings 3:15 says, but now bring me a musician. We have one, Vincent. Yes, absolutely. I kept this verse in because I want you to understand that singing is not 20 minutes of wasting time at the start of a service. Singing sets the spirit in orientation to the same frequency as heaven. Very important. You've got to get this right. Singing is like old school radios. How many of you here remember old school radios where you had a dial to find the frequency? Now you press search, okay? But before we were lazy, we had a thing, a dial, and as you set it, you got static, and then more static, and then you found a station, often in the wrong language for you. I could find Radio 2000 every time. Either chamber music or long conversations, and I'm looking for 5, but I find to the... And worship is dialing the frequency of the Spirit to come in tune with the sound of heaven. How long should you sing for? Until you're hearing. Okay, but there's a conversation for another day, okay. Bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, the prophet. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. But this is what the Lord says. You shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. That's not a prophecy, because we saw both in the last few days. Oh, especially today, that wind. I rebuked it. Yet that valley shall be filled with the water so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Here's what this prophetic, which is sort of a way God speaks thing, was trying to say. It's saying, stop waiting for some extraordinary means by which you will have rain and water for your life. Dig some ditches so God can fill it. It's saying, dig for treasure and let God bless your digging. There's a partnership here between our efforts and God's blessings. I want you to have a fruitful year by putting effort into things that are worth it. Amen? But some things aren't. Now, your marriage is always worth it. Being part of a church is always worth it. Going to gym. Is it always worth it? Let me tell you, can I share an embarrassing moment just, and then I've got 11 minutes to do 3 points. Can I tell you, I've been running for a few days now, being aware that I need to. And... what does that mean, Tim? You're such a beautiful human being, and then you say that to me. While I'm thinking of Tim, because Tim is always this extraordinary character behind the bass there, and you are an amazing blessing there, but I also want to comment that I felt that Lee on drums tonight was next level. Where are you, Lee? He's recovering at the back somewhere. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, he's right in the back. Lee! You've got it, my man. Keep at it. Keep at it. Such a blessing. Three things from both that scripture and the content of scripture I want to share with you about digging for treasure in the right way. Here are the priorities. Number one, get to understand that the best gold in the world is in you and other people. Most people neglect the true value of the treasures that God has placed in themselves and in other people, so they keep looking for value somewhere else. And I want to encourage you today, if you're here tonight and you need a third party to make you feel good about who you are, then may I suggest to you the only person you need for that is Jesus Christ. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend will add something. Your husband or your wife will add something. That Zara shirt. It's all going to add to something, but nothing activates treasure in a human being as much as the affirmation of, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And you know what I love about that scripture? Jesus heard it before he performed one miracle. For God wanted him to know that he was loved before he performed for it, so that he didn't have to do something to be loved by God, just be someone to be loved by God. At the beginning of your story, God loved you. At the beginning of your mistake, God loved you. At the beginning of your steps, God loved you. At the beginning of your attitude problem, God loved you. So much so will he love you at the end of your attitude problem, at the end of your misstep, at the end of your journey, and at the end of your destiny. For God's love is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. It's so powerful. In the book of 1 John, the Bible says that God is love. He doesn't love people. He is love. There's a huge difference between the two. The one is something I must do. The other is something I am. God is love. And I want to encourage you, discover the treasure that God has placed in you and in others. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here's what I've discovered about my life. I hope this is valuable to you. Somewhere inside of me is a gold bar of God's treasure. It's surrounded by this gooey substance called my flesh. Sometimes more gooey in December. And when I am pressed, the flesh bruises, but the treasure remains. And therefore, I crucify the flesh that I might live in the Spirit. Take some bruising to protect something so valuable. There's treasure in you, and only Jesus Christ can unlock it. Only. You can go for all philosophies, genealogies, you can explore and investigate all kinds of religions. Information is not a problem. But only Jesus Christ carries the key and the combination to the lock that defines who you are. Only Jesus can do that. No doubt about it. I want to encourage you. Let him unlock the treasure in you. Take a step of faith and do that. I didn't know. How are we doing? 6 minutes. I didn't know I could preach. Some people still feel I can't. But I was an usher in my first church, not the singer. The job. My job was I told you before, to fold a piece of paper into three panels and handed out at the door to the 100 people who came to that church. And on one day, the pastor who had had a triple bypass operation during the week and thought he would be ready to preach, couldn't preach. And his wife came out and said, "George, we've got no one to preach today. Would you just share a testimony?" And I left the thing that I faithfully was doing there and got up to do something else. And a bunch of people gave their lives to Jesus. And it shocked me. I was like, they're getting saved. What do I do? What do I do with these people? And I came to discover something powerful. You find out your treasure by functioning in something lesser until God opens the door to something greater. This is, full disclosure, this is a warning. This is a no-filter moment. All these lazy people who think they can pray their way from nothing to the top, it's not going to happen. My father used to tell me a rather rude thing, but he was right. He said, there's only one career in the world where you start at the top, and that's digging graves. I just leave that free advice. That's not part of the package of the service. You can. Secondly, if there's gold in people, then I want to tell you that there is treasure or gold in pain. Now, I know nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to be, we want to be happy clappies, you know? You know what a happy clappy is, right? That part of church no one understands. It's just you're happy and you're clapping all the time. I don't know if we're happy clappy, let me just explain something to you. The joy of thanksgiving is increased by God's deliverance, God's blessing through pain and difficulty. It's not popular to talk like this anymore, but we've developed a world where nobody sacrifices for anything but wants something significant. As though there is sort of some universal Santa Claus who's going to roam around dishing out purpose and prosperity to all who pray loudly enough. Well, that's a fairy tale. That's a fairy tale. You're a grown man now. Well, amen. Thank you, Sunny, for keeping on point with the ladies also. Thank you. I just assumed the ladies here were all grown anyway. It's normally the men that are immature. I didn't feel it was necessary to address the maturity level of women since I have yet to find one immature. Whew. Disabenza, ne? Katele. All right. The gold in pain. 1 Peter 1:6 says, you have been grieved by various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In simple language, people who don't make it through trouble are not genuine. Do you want to know if you've got a genuine relationship? Does it survive a tough day? Do you know if you've got a genuine anything? Can it fight a good fight and get to the end of it and say, I have kept the faith? Here is laid for me a crown of righteousness. I want to encourage you to be determined to let tough times produce gold. Sometimes I hate running out of time, but as I've said to you before, I get very clingy in the evening service. I don't want you to go home because I know I'm not going to see you for a week. So I'm dragging the, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you. No, no, you. We're there. But in my own life, in my own spiritual journey, I was very technically aggressive about things. Technically aggressive. This is right and this is wrong and these people are going to hell and these people are going to heaven. Oh, no. That was how we preached in those days. Last year. So here's what I've learned as I get a little grayer. You've got no idea what distance a person has traveled to find themselves in the seat next to you. You got no idea. Some people traveled a few kilometers in an air-conditioned car from your private school background. You got dressed for the occasion with the leftover clothes you had from your last purchase. And the worst thing that happens in your first world problem life is that you can't choose which phone to upgrade to next. The genuine debate between iPhone and Samsung rages in your mind. The answer is obvious. No, we're not going down there, but if anyone, any company is listening to me and were to sponsor me in something, I'm going to make a declaration next week. I'm joking, come on. Come on. But some other people got here having grown up in broken homes, raised by a mother who kept two jobs to get them through any kind of a government school or in any kind of a school to get them into some sort of a career or a path, who have two siblings to look after and discovered they have two step-siblings they didn't know about, who hitched a ride with a friend that got dropped off somewhere and walked across the bridge to get here and are sitting next to you, and the last thing you can do is look down your nose at them because they didn't have the same leftover dress code you had from your last Zara purchase. Okay, I'm sorry if that was offensive unnecessarily. Let's just adopt a policy of if the shoe fits. Last thing, I'm in the red clock section now. They're going to start flashing it to me soon, saying, "Hang up and seek professional help." Gold in patience and perseverance. Oh, man. Patience and perseverance. Our definition of long, a long time, seems to have changed. Because in the Bible, things are measured in lifetimes, not in seconds. You know, you want real gold? Your life built with real treasure? Persevere. Keep at the same principles year in and year out. Don't be flexible on things of faith. 2 Timothy 2:20, I'll wrap up on the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:20 says, "But in a great house," it's a great house, "there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." Sounds harsh, I'll explain. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's purpose, prepared for every good work." Here's what it's saying. Every person in this room can change the very substance of who we are from one type of thing to another type of thing if we just persevere. If we just persevere, shy people can find their voice and crazy people can calm down. Now, I'm just saying, you don't walk around through life saying, "Well, that's just who I am. I'm crazy. I break everything and burn everything down and set the world on fire." Well, you need to calm down and learn how to make a fireplace. You're allowed to be lit. Just be lit where you're supposed to be. Can't believe I said that. I apologize to all those who are, you know, I'm over time, hey. No, I must finish. Thank you. There's another group going, "Just tell the Greek to end." I saw an Insta story of people rushing to church with the catchphrase, "Got to get him to the Greek." It's a movie. That's what it said. Get him to the Greek. I don't know who they had in their car, their spouse or someone, but I felt like a doctor at an emergency room. Where's the Greek? Nancy. A definition of Christians I once heard that was very helpful, that some Christians have an ability to build a lovely fireplace but don't know how to light a fire. They're all structure, no vuma. And then some Christians know how to be on fire, but they don't know how to contain it in some kind of a fireplace, so they burn the house down. Both aren't cool. If you're spiritually dead on the inside, no matter how shiny your Bible is, it's not going to be enough. And if you're so on fire, you've got no time to live righteously. That's not right. Just, we come down on the one so we can live on the other. We light a fire in the one place so we can light up and warm the entire house. For a lamp is lit and not hidden under a bowl, but placed in a place of prominence so it gives light to the whole house. Does your faith light up your whole house? Does it light up your finances and your relationships and your language? Oh, Lord. That language. Or does your light stay under a bowl that you visit on Sundays? I didn't want to end in such a serious note, but here we are. Could we stand to pray? Thank you for giving me the extra time. I'd like to ask you to stay for another minute, unless you're an usher or a coffee barista or in the parking lot. That group of people will be leaving now to prepare for you. You've already parked, so it's going to be hectic for the next few minutes in there. You know that. So why don't you stick around a bit? So hey, we ran out of seats this morning in just about every room. It was just unbelievable as schools reopened, and in a couple of weeks the students will be back, and man, I'm excited for 2018. I'm so excited. I'm also aware that other people visit us, people from other churches visit us on Sunday nights, and maybe your church doesn't have an evening service or you get to take a break. I'm always grateful that you spend it with us. And I'm excited that churches everywhere in our city grow. Huh? So can we pray about painting the right house and looking for treasure in the right place so we don't dig ditches to fall in, but dig ditches to catch the rain of God's favor? And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your voice that speaks into our soul. We thank you that worship and thanksgiving tunes us to that sound. We pray that you'll teach us to look for treasure in the right place and stop wasting our time hunting after stuff that's not real gold. Would you teach us to chase after the legitimate stuff? And would you teach us to be authentic and legitimate ourselves? We commit ourselves to recognizing treasure in us and in other people. We commit ourselves to recognizing that there is glory even in pain, that it's one of those ways that you build something genuine in us. And we commit ourselves to persevering, not easily giving up. For in the process of persevering, you produce something significant in us. We thank you for 2018. It's going to be a gold year. In Jesus' name, amen.